I was just talking about what is the way back to God. How can we approach God? With what qualification? You see? So, one word, within one word, we can express it to have brahmacharya. Chastity of thought. If that is there, then there is hope for knowing self and knowing God. Brahmacharya means such a living which will lead us, which will qualify us to know God. You see? So, to find God, to know God, to know oneself first of all is we should have contentment. Stop where you are for a while and know what have you to do. Pity it is we have got a man body in which we can know God. But our daily increasing outward enjoyment, we have no time to stand and see what you want to do. For instance, one man is just flowing down in the river. He is sometimes sinking under the water, again coming up. He has no time to think. You must stay somewhere on the side and then think what to do for a while. Now we are hunting after worldly thoughts, worldly enjoyments, like anything. Howling dogs, you see, excuse me. All these outward impressions come through the outgoing faculties, which are five conscious working through five organs. They are 10 in number. Eyesight through the eyes, hearing through the ears, smelling through the nose, and just some through the tongue and some through the... So there are 10 if you... These outgoing faculties will receive impressions from outside if we stop that, you see. Control our outgoing faculties from receiving impressions from outside. Only then that is what is required first. So unless you control the outgoing faculties, you cannot take a step forward. First of all, to stay somewhere to think what are, where are you are, what you want to do. For a while we do think we have got to see God, but so many thoughts, worldly thoughts are coming in, that we cannot, what to say, exactly clear cut see what we to do. Intellectually something strikes, we have to do this and but it is just flowing down the worldly enjoyments in the worldly enjoyments. So first thing is stand where you are for a while. What is our idea? For a day, two, three, just leave everything and think what you have to do. That's the first thing. Second thing would come, the chastity of thought, you see. These five decoys, lust, anger, you see, then attachment, ego, so many, these are five dogs assailing us. All through the outgoing faculties. If you control the outgoing faculties, these won't invade you, the won't assail us. So, just control the indriya, that's the first thing. You will avoid all these attacking, you might say, of the five, these lusts to be saved. So, for that, the worst of the dacoit is the lust. There are others too. We have to control our indriya, you see. Lust is the lowest and the worst. Because, you see, on the control of lust or the chastity of thought depends the very building of the physical body, heart and brain. Any building which is raised on walls made of sand, how long will it stay? So first, worst of the dacoits, which assail us, is the lust. First. century. Those who have not this quality, this day, that will always drag you down. And if you know, you have to know God or see the light of God, you have to rise above all these Indians. Diametrical opposite things. Yes? It is the worst of it. Yes? So justice of thought or life of, what to say, self-control. This is the first thing. If there is a goldsmith, you've got some machine in there to just melt the gold in a crucible. If that is not there, how can you have your gold melted? So this is the necessity. Even if the goldsmith is there, he cannot do anything. If that is there and there is no goldsmith, then who can do it? So goldsmith is perseverance. Continue, don't be disheartened. Go on doing it. We are simply disheartened, oh, this is a little progress. But the reason is we are dragged away by other things. As I told you, first thing is stay with your own contentment. Only then you can think for a while what we have to do. Then for that, to achieve success there, you must have good character. Character not only, I mean, this lust, but there are other characters too. Not to think of non-violence. Think of all the non-violence. No violence to anybody. Through word, thought, and deed. Just observe truth. All failure should be eliminated. And purity of thought. Avoidance of lust. Through mind, word, and deed. Then God resides in every heart. Love for all. Self. This is the outer thing we have to control. To Brahmacharya, what are the qualifications, you say, what are the way of living which will help us to know God and to have control over violence, evil thoughts, you see, lusty thoughts, no hatred for anybody, and love for us. So how this is formed now, the question is. Take, for instance, you take a vow from today that you will tell the truth always, continuing for some months. After, say, 6 months, if you would like to tell a lie, you won't be able to do it. See? Now take a vow from today, you will have pure thought. For 6 months continue, then you will be... Just if you have to do anything, you'll just nonplussed. Today, think, take a vow that you are not to think evil of anybody else, nor hear anything evil about others, nor even to think about evil of others. After some months, you won't be able to think of anything. This is how the character is made, you see. So when health is lost, money is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, everything is lost. Do you follow me? These things are given here. Not so vividly put forward, you see. Man's body is the highest in all creation. In this only we can know God and we can know ourselves. If we have no contentment, you are going headlong down. And after finding out something where you are interested, you see, you don't think evil or good, you are after it. You must stay for a while to think what is before you. Decide what you want to do. It may take a day, 2, 10 days, never mind. But first of all, cut off from all outside and think what is your highest ideal. When you have decided, then naturally what will be? When I joined the world, yes, after my education, I wanted to decide what should be my aim of life. I'm talking 19. Even as a student I was thinking of that, but when I entered the world, naturally that was before me. It took me about 7 or 8 days, for hours together, all night going into solitude. What should be my aim? I decided God first and world next. That was decided. Then even you take one step daily, you succeed. We have got no idea before us. We are adrift. Sometimes you think the world is all right, others think God is all right. Where world and God are not two things, you have got angle of vision correct. Very clear spectacles you wear on, it is all God. But you have colored smoky glasses then, you see the world in that way. So first, make correct a place. By keeping diaries, this is really meant underneath at the bottom. You must make your character. You make your character, all is calm and quiet within you. You see your face, you realize yourself, then the yourself. So these are, that is why it is said, truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. A Persian saint has said, you see, hum khuda khayo hum duniyaye do in khayalasto bhalasti. If you after realizing God, and at the same time you want to be held down the worldly things, it is a dream, it is a whip. You cannot do it. But you may question me, well, what about those married people? Well, married life is no spa bar to spirituality, if conducted according to scriptures. All scriptures tell us marriage means taking a companion in life who will be with you in weal and woe, and both of you should know God. Because in the man's body only, that is the highest thing that is before us. One duty may be of begetting children. Use this power only for that, for procreation, not for enjoyment. We waste away these things in very frivolous things. Such a married life is no bar to security. Christ said, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. Swami Ramachandra said so long as in India, why husbands and wives do not live a pure life, begin to pure, maybe as children, one duty, not 100% duty. To lead a life of purity as brothers and sisters, there is no hope for India. So as I told you, we must have contentment. Stay somewhere to think where we are. All your pursuits, stand. Even the train runs on, stay some platform, you see. You're running like trains, but stop somewhere to think what is your own goal in life. And decide one way or the other. When you've decided, then two things more are required. Brahmacharya. I explained to you what is brahmacharya. It is the control of all indriyas. Of your eyes too, of your ears too, of your nose too, and your mouth and your arm too. If you control your outgoing faculties, none of the dakas can save you. You have 5 dakas. Lust, attachment, greed, and so on. So control of all these is called brahmacharya. Any living in a way which will lead you to realize God. Take you to realize. So first is chastity of thought. The other is perseverance. You see, go on. Rome was not built in a day. When you have got, when you meet some master, you will give you something to start with, maybe little or more. Each man has his own background. Yesterday I was giving about 60 men people their initiation. They were all new. They said, oh, very sick, so much has been given to us. Well, it is there with you, people. take hundreds of years to achieve that light, to rise above body consciousness. You have given us all at once. To maintain that, we have to just weed out all imperfections as required by your self-introspection diary. This only will make you for character. From today, take a vow, as I told you, you will never tell lies. Always speak truth. After 6 years, you find you cannot tell lies. Yes. We don't care for these things, that is why we never go and like anything, you see. We are sometimes have progress, then again retreat, then fall down, again start, again. We dig up pits in the ground, some 2 feet, some 5 feet, some 7 feet, but there is no water. That becomes to the very place we can fall down, you see. Dig one pit, go on, pit, dig it, you'll find water. Water is underneath earth, you'll find it. So these are the things required, you see, to make a man. Man is the make. And God is, man should not run after God, I tell you honestly. God is after finding out some man who is a man, you see, who is a man of character, who lives up to the ideals of life as taught by God in men, or man in God. This is what he wanted, you see. Means brahmacharya. This is what you explained here. Not so vividly as I'm now telling you, you see. But it's there. So those who know God, who like to know God, they must stand somewhere to decide what they want. We now drift away by the strong currents of our desires. For a while, stay and think and decide. We are adrift. Only when you stay, only then you will be something very clear to you. Then decide what you have, your ideal in life. So what you have decided, then work for it. For that perseverance is required. And for that very thing is strong character. And brahmacharya. So married and unmarried, both men can succeed. Married men only, those who are not given up to these things. Every day fall down into the pit. Every day, every night, every moment they think of those things. How can they go? Spirituality is no joke, I tell you. But thank God you get something to start at the very first day with the grace of God. Maintain it. For that you have to keep yourself introspection diary. So this is what is required, you see. If anybody lives up to that, the master says, I am their servant. Any father, when he finds his son very up to the mark what he wants him to become, then he becomes his slave. You see? He rejoices to see his son. If a teacher, you see, will be very glad to find his students going up, winning laurels, yes, he will very much believe if the very student has just not obeying what he says and lives where it is, you see. Then do you think he'll feel happy over it? How a master can feel happy over the those who come to him who do not live up to what he says? That is why Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's all. He simply tells you to adopt a life, to live a life which is required from your highest ideal, that is to know God, to know self. And he gives you something to start with of the ideal, which leads you further to absolute God. Thank God. So, jo main keh raha tha aap logo ko sun rahe the, aaj se pran karo. Kya banna chahte ho? Ek ghanta baad jo hai, ek din chutti le lo. 2 ghante, 4 ghante, faisla karo kya banna chahte ho. Agar koi duniya kaam, put in heart and soul, duniya ka kaam karo, koi na nahi. Usse kasbe kamal kun azize jahan se. Kisi kaam ko karo, khub kamal tak pahunchao, sara jahan tumhari sandh. Pehlwan banna to pehlwan bano. The whole world will be after you, looking after you. Nowadays, Dada Pehlwan and King Kong, you see. They are before the eyes of everybody. Adam Bano, Bhakichan. Are bhai, insan, the highest ideal uncha, Prabhu Papana. Be a man of God. So bhai, kuch karna chahiye. Matthe chekne se kaam nahi banega. I tell you. Then we have obeisance and go glorifying your Guru or Master and not living up to what he says. This is not good. You can deceive the world not to him who is in you. Very clear cut thought in you, without any reservation. This thing has helped me in my life and can help you also. I wish you all become ambassadors more than me. This is my wish. But if you live up to it, I'll wash your feet. तो ये बातें जो आपको समझाई जाती हैं समझने के लिए ही पल्ले बंद और लिव करो तो है जीवन बतलाए कि वट यू आर ए सेंट फ्लावर सेलर शुडनर से माई सेंट इज वेरी परफ्यूम लेट द परफ्यूम सेंट इज सेल्फ रेडिएट परफ्यूम अदर्स वे नो ओनली बाय परफ्यूम इट इज रेडिएशन इफ यू आर गुड एट हार्ट रेडिएशन विल बी गुड इफ यू आर नॉट गुड एट हार्ट दैट इज रेडिएशन विल बी बैड So we want to be good before the eyes of others, that is deceiving your own self and deceiving all others, but you cannot deceive your own self, the God is within you. This is what you learn here. You have come here to learn. Learn and live up to them. You simply what you say, fill your brain with all these facts and don't live up to them, then what is good? The food which is digested, that will give you strength. Which is not digested, that will give you disease. So, bhaiyo, yahan aane ka matlab, ek ideal jeevan ko paana hai, uske liye zariya. Aage aap kehte ho, koi samjhata nahi, kitna khol kar samjhaya jata. Character aaj se banana shuru karo. दो में किसी को धोखा दे दो बस दिल साफ हो जाए अगर कोई आदमी तुमको बुरा कहता है तो कह दे दो किसी कहने से बुरा नहीं होगा अगर वो आप में कमी है उसका शुक्रिया अदा करो बी थैंकफुल टू हिम पार्टी दो और दी डियरेस्ट फ्रेंड विल टेल यू अबाउट योर शॉर्ट कमिंग्स आर ए एनिमी यू सी इफ दैट इज विद इन यू देन That tag of that thing. Leave that all there. You can eliminate all those things from you. If they're not going to pray for him, then God bless him. So, ye baatein bhai dangerous. Most important. We do not care to live up to that. That is why sometimes we progress, other times we don't progress. So, there's hope for everybody. To fall in sin is manly, but to remain there is devilish. आज से करें फैसला करो क्या बनना चाहते हो वैसे ये नहीं मतलब कि तुम दुनिया के काम जो काम करो अब योर लाइवलीहुड जस्ट लर्न योर चिल्ड्रन एवरीथिंग हैव ए कंपेनियन ना बट टू हेल्प यू ऑन द वे बैक टू गॉड दैट्स गुड आइडिया Live an ideal or decide what you want to become later on. जो कुछ मैंने कहा जाकर आज फैसला करो घंटा दो घंटे चार घंटे एक दिन छुट्टी ले लो डिसाइड वट यू वांट फॉर ऑल फाइनल वट यू वांट टू बिकम वेन यू डिसाइडेड देन हैव गुड लाइफ गुड करेक्टर परसिवियर For a while, have contentment. When you have decided, then go on with it. Step by step will lead you to the goal, that's all. Of course, it will take time. Time factor is necessary. Those who have got good background, they start from there. Those who have not good background, they start and go perseverance, pursuing that thing, then they can go ahead even as compared with those who have got good background but do not pursue it. So there is no hard and fast rule for any man. How long will it take? That depends on the perseverance and the true life is in her. I was just talking about charity. I would use the word charity now as compared with love. Love can be compared to the outward dirt thing. So charity involves, you see, need complete obedience. Such obedience for which mind raises up no doubt. Self-surrender. Complete. And be respectful. Otherwise, only this charity which turns into love, as they know, that has background of ego, that transcends all laws, you see. And that very love makes us to control the to whom we love, you see. So love is only love when it becomes charity, I would say. Complete obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. That keeping of the commandments should be from a heart out of complete self-surrender. That you will be able to do only when you are convinced at heart that to whom you are going to obey is perfect, is more wise than, is wiser than you. He knows all the pros and cons of the whole thing. So such like prem is always appreciated by Master. I quoted my instance. Once I, the disciple always asks the Master some favor. This is the favor I asked him, I wanted. Favor from you, Master, I want this love, charity. And that should be most respectful. With complete self-surrender. When he got that letter, he put that letter over his breast. He said, I also want that. So I was just telling you, be, love your Master, keep his commandments without any ifs and buts. Complete self-surrender, because he knows what is to be done, otherwise we suffer. I was just quoting the instance of Mansur. He said, I am God. He was put to the gallows, to the cross. Shams Tabriz went to somebody. Somebody called him, his son was dead, died. He said, well, make him alive. He said, name of God I ask you to. Stand up. In the name of the Prophet, I ask you to stand up. He did. The dead body did not raise up. He said, I order. Raise up. Then he rose up. And what was the result? His skin was dry. So love is only love when it is respectful, with complete self-surrender. Such a love will... You lose your ego. That will appeal to the heart of the God in man. Generally we love, we transcend the bounds of respect because we have got no surrender at heart. That results in disrespect. Sometimes we vie with the Master, sometimes we want to overrule the Master. Because we are not convinced of the Master that he is more wise than us. He is wiser than us. At least that much should be there. You may not call him a God, because you cannot tell. Our Master, sometimes people ask him, well, how should we take you? He said, take me as your elder brother, as your father, as your teacher, as your well-wisher, and do as I order you. And according to that, when you go up, you rise up to body consciousness, you see His greatness there, then you may call me anything you like. You see? Only then you can listen. When you don't go in. And out of criterion is what? He must be able to give you something to start with. That's the only criteria.
Good morning. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was a combination of two morning talks. The first one was titled The Way Back to God from 14th January 1968, and the second one titled Love with Surrender from 15th January 1968. Our reader today is Eileen Pokorny.
Good morning, everybody. This morning we'll be reading from Spiritual Elixir, Volume 1, Chapter 1, Social Conduct and Ethical Life. Question: to what extent is the outer behavior indicative of inner spiritual growth? Master: a keen sense of self-abnegation is the outward expression of one's spiritual progress. It is not exhibited to hide our weakness, but to actually make one feel in the heart of hearts that one is nothing but a mere tiny cog in the vast machinery of divine purposes. One who becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan never asserts but humbly describes in third person. He never despises anyone but always relishes to offer loving help and assistance to others. He does not criticize but narrates the facts of life in a selfless manner for our spiritual benefit. He lives sincerely up to the holy commandments, irrespective of the results. He does not yield to the environments, but adjusts himself cheerfully, knowing fully well that he is always under the gracious protection of the Master Power. He is never gloomy, and in his heart of hearts is always cheerful, even in the face of misfortunes. He does not blame others for their shortcomings, but seeks to weed his own out by careful living and adaptations. He does not attribute his spiritual progress to his own single-handed earnest endeavors, but considers it as a holy gift from the Master. He is well balanced in failure and success. He can forgive and forget easily. He is seldom provocative and is rather blessed with a keen sense of loving cooperation for the spiritual welfare of others. He does not assert his authority nor claim any superiority over the less developed souls, but behaves like a friend or brother and inwardly prays for the redemption. He never feels burdened with the worries of others and can offer sublime solutions with much ease. He is ever compassionate in his heart and wishes the welfare of all men, animals, birds, or insects. He is always full of deep gratitude and seldom complains about his difficulties whatsoever. He is chaste and kind, but hides his virtues under the cloak of studied science. He never boasts of his valor or intelligence, but seeks to help others surreptitiously. He dislikes limelight. He shuns publicity and feels shy in large crowds. He does not like acting and posing, but is always unassuming and natural in his behavior. He can silence his thoughts at will by attuning with the holy Nam within and by turning his attention to the holy feet of the Master. He is ever protected by him and is hourly fed, nay, rather every moment is blessed with the loving life impulses from the Master Power. He knows it fully well that this physical life is but a passing phase of the soul from the lower categories of creation in the long drama of human existence and nothing material will accompany into the beyond. He does not believe in hoarding, but tries to live a frugal life full of contentment. He is not allured by the spell of higher living, but considers it as a strong fetter on the human soul. He does not vie with the so-called affluent and rich people, but inwardly prays for their spiritual liberation from the wheel of birth and death. He does not live for eating, but eats for living a life full of divine bliss and harmony. He is not fond of gaudy dresses, but is satisfied with simple garments procured at reasonable prices. He does not shirk hard work, but undertakes mighty jobs for the good of others at the cost of his physical endurance in a selfless manner. He does not demand reward for his labors, but considers the sacred dedication as a boon in itself. He will seek to help others even at the cost of his own suffering. He is, in a nutshell, a righteous man of good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. Question: is a disciplined initiate one who attends satsangs regularly, adheres to the vegetarian diet, and devotes time to practices with due regard to self-introspection? Master: yes, these are the cardinal virtues of a disciplined initiate, which should be inculcated and assimilated in a state of loving humility. Question: do we as satsangis have a special aim or responsibility? Master: well, as initiates, we have taken on a duty, and with a duty, there is a definite responsibility. A member of the Ruhani Satsang takes upon himself the most important and the most difficult task in the world, i.e., enabling himself and his fellow beings to attain self-knowledge and God-knowledge. Thus, our aim is knowledge of the beyond. Science of the soul seeks to make the human soul one with God by transcending the physical, the astral, and the causal planes of existence. It is, therefore, quite independent. Outer forms and ceremonies, rites, rituals, sacrifices, fasts, vigils, or pilgrimages, these are outer practices called apravidya. In our satsangs, we should not mix up the science of the beyond with any other kind of movement which deals with something other than this science. So our main aim of life is to know ourselves and to know God. We must never waver from this, and in every action we do, we must consider whether it takes us nearer to or further away from our ideal. And our responsibility is to set a good example for all. Question: should I avoid, if possible, those who, because of their worldly ways and negative vibrations, cause me to suffer, especially in prolonged contacts? Master: a man is known by the company he keeps. It is the association which molds our character, and the spiritual aspirants should be careful in keeping a keen vigil. The worldly-minded people are usually engrossed in physical and sensual pleasures, and their activities affect the spiritual aspirant adversely. You should know that yours is the way into the beyond, whereas the worldly wise have their own ambitions of sense gratification. You should carefully avoid uncongenial society in the larger interests of your spiritual progress. Even the reading of obscene literature affects adversely, and as such should be avoided scrupulously. Question: is one supposed to drop all routine to take care of satsangis who literally drop out of the sky, descend with bag and baggage, without funds to support themselves, disrupt all family chores, daily routines, expecting you to come through with living quarters and entertain them? Master, the initiates are joined in a true relation which never breaks and forms part of the family of Master. They are truly brothers and sisters in God. The initiates should extend all feasible help, financially or otherwise, to them while not ignoring their own families. They should try to let them be on their own legs for their sustenance. Their self should always expand to all others who are on the way. Question. With many of the social problems facing mankind, should we attempt to study these through higher education and research during the day, and in the evening spend our late hours in meditation? Or can we turn our backs on these problems and concern ourselves with our search for God? Master, the disciplined initiates should endeavor to discharge their worldly duties as a matter of routine to the best of their ability, but with serene detachment. God realization should be considered as the only matter of great importance, and all other matters should be attended to seriously, if necessary, so as to grant you an inner satisfaction of having done your part well. Question. If one is working on a creative project, like painting, can one ask for help and inspiration from the master? Master, the child disciple is ever prayerful for the accomplishment of his or her projects. There is no harm in doing so, provided it is undertaken in a sense of detachment and for the sake of discharging your legitimate duties. For more clarification, a reference is invited to the book Prayer, Its Nature and Technique. Question. Is artistic talent, as some people say, a God-given gift which is meant to be used in this life, or is it something which one has worked at and developed in a past life and must now be put behind one when entering this spiritual path? Master, all talents inherited as a result of past karma are good, provided they are utilized for attainment of spiritual progress by regular meditation. Everybody comes to this world with certain instincts and impulses which can be harnessed for spiritual development under competent guidance. It is the single-minded devotion of the initiate which should be developed carefully and should be considered as the best of godly gifts. Question. Are creative pursuits like painting, which give pleasure and satisfaction and may earn some extra income, worthwhile to carry on, or are they a hindrance to a spiritual development when they are one specific job? Master. The so-called creative pursuits, like painting, singing, storytelling, etc., are simply diversion of mind to idle pursuits, especially when these do not fall within the purview of your legitimate duties or are not needed to make your livelihood. Such like activities rather feed the subtle ego in a wild and surreptitious manner, and as such should be undertaken most carefully. The initiates should try to put in more time in meditation so as to progress on the way. Question. Jesus gave to Peter, according to the script, the keys of the kingdom of God. Some teachers say that these keys are love, wisdom, understanding, compassion, sympathy, and discernment. Is it not possible that the real keys are the five charged names? If so, would you please give us something for the divine pearls? Master, all these are the means to the end, which is spiritual perfection. The holy contacts with Holy Nam in various aspects are the keys of the kingdom of God, given to the disciple to awaken his self-consciousness, cosmic and supercosmic consciousness. All these divine virtues follow of themselves by coming into contact with the light and sound principles without your asking. The sun of spirituality, when it shines high, shows everything in clear form. Righteousness follows as a matter of course. Dharma, when established, does not leave any place for ifs and buts. You are not to exert or pose, but live in the actual sense. Question: how many really true devotees abide by a master in his sacred sojourn here in his blessed physical body? Master: there are no specific provisions in this behalf. Question: Jesus said, "Take heed that ye do not give your alms before men, to be seen of them. Let thy left hand not know what thy right hand doeth." Why then must the disciples put their names on their contributions to the satsang? Master: the accounting of the funds is meant for the maintenance of financial statements involved. The quotations mean strictly that the donor should not attach any importance to their self for the contributions made by them, lest it feeds their ego. Question: according to page 4 of my submission, spirituality is nothing but serving the people. Yet we are told our first duty is to ourselves. Sometimes it would mean neglecting ourselves to serve others. Please explain. Master: service before self is a very good thing, but very often one does not even know the true significance of service, and with all his well-meaning intentions, actually does disservice instead of the much-wanted service of which we so glibly talk. Until we discover the true self within us, we cannot visualize, much less actually realize in others, the self same life impulse vibrating in the universe. This is why emphasis is laid in the first instance on self-knowledge, for it paves the way to God-knowledge, and when it dawns, one sees nothing but the Spirit of God working in all harmony in each creature. Service to others now assumes quite a different aspect, becoming a dedication to the Spirit of the universe pervading in and around you. Because when one grasps the human in himself, he understands all mankind. Question: I have always wanted a rebirth to help humanity in some essential way, biochemistry, organic gardening, or health measures, or protection of trees, natural resources. Now we are taught to get off the wheel of rebirth, but I feel so inadequate and unprepared. Master: The highest aim of a man's life is to know oneself and to know God. If once we have attained that, our purpose is served. The divine phenomena which determines future births of the initiates is left to the master power, in whom we should repose all our hopes. Your kind sentiments of helping humanity in various fields of your activity will bless you with an awakened outlook, which in turn should grant you an impetus to work more zealously, selflessly, and in a spirit of dedication. It is for the master power to see how he can make the best use of you. The master saint enjoins that the dear initiate should lead such a disciplined life that he or she should retire every night by disposing all work assigned to his or her care and repose all hopes and aspirations in the gracious master power working overhead. Such a sacred schedule will endow you with the stillness of mind and be immensely helpful for spiritual progress. Question: must we forgive all who have wronged us before we die in order to progress on the higher planes after death? Master: we should learn to forgive and forget, which is a golden principle of life for attaining peace and harmony, so very much helpful for having a calm and contemplative mood, which in turn will bless us with successful meditations. He who forgives is twice blessed. Taking revenge is cowardice, but forgiving the lapses of others is an act of virtuous nobility. The initiates are advised to take the stock of their karma every day before retiring to see whether during the course of their working day they have incurred anybody's displeasure or have wronged anybody. If so, they should repent and pray for divine grace. Similarly, if others have in one way or the other done any harm to them, that should be forgiven in the name of the Master. There is a very good example in the Bible where it is said that before one stands for prayer, he should forgive the lapses or shortcomings of his brother who has wronged him, so that the Father in heaven may condone his shortcomings. Evidently, we must inculcate such a sense of forgiveness by daily practice. We must forgive all who have wronged us before we depart from this earth plane, which will be helpful for our soul's progress on the inner planes. That ends chapter 1 in Spiritual Elixir, and now we'll go on to chapter 2, titled Meditation. Question: what makes one stray from this golden grand trunk road of spirituality after finding the true God-man and sacred initiation from him? Master: it is the ego in humans which debars them from spiritual illumination. It can be annihilated only by a stern spiritual discipline and a sacred schedule of holy meditations, together with a deep reverential humility. Sometimes uncongenial environments do affect the spiritual progress of the dear initiates, who should always pray for the right understanding and divine grace. Question: during meditation hour, I hear without thumbs in my ears. My mind tends to concentrate on the thumbs, but without the thumbs in the ears, I hear sound waves. Master: it depends upon your receptivity whether you feel better without the thumbs and difficult with the thumbs. You seem to remain conscious of the thumbs while listening to the sound current, which shows that your attention is divided. Please know it for certain that the inner sound current is not the outcome of our own perception, but the divine grace of the Master, which can be experienced by loving devotion and humility. You should try to do one practice fully and solely at one time. When you hear the sound principle while sitting in meditation, you should not pay attention to the sound, as in that case, the attention is divided. Similarly, while sitting for hearing the sound, if the light comes up, you should not pay your attention to that. If, however, the sound becomes audible during the day, that will surely keep your attention occupied and save it from being frittered away to other things. But you should hear the sound coming from the right side by closing your ears, as in that case, the sound will draw closer, grow stronger, and ultimately come from above to pull your soul up into the beyond. Question. Since a deep purple color is identified with one of the divisions of the astral plane, when one sees this color in meditation, can one assume that one has reached that plane in meditation? Master, the manifestation of the holy light within, in various shades, does not particularly mean that one has reached a particular plane, as it is just a reflection of those regions, which are made manifest at the initial stage. It may at best indicate the inner spiritual background of the aspirant, which follows one like trailing clouds of glory from God, which is our home. Question. How can we become passive and attain absolute stillness and silence inside to enable us to obtain the bliss of the light of lights? Master. There are no shortcuts on the spiritual path. One has to work for the spiritual bliss. Mind, like fire, is a good servant but a bad master. While sitting for meditation, we have to free the mind of all thoughts and the intellect of all reasoning. This can be achieved by mental revolution. What in the world is after all ours? Nothing, not even the body, the mental apparatus, and the wealth that one may possess. These are given to us for a legitimate use only. They belong to the giver. Why not surrender them at the holy feet of the God-man when attending to the task assigned by him, to wit, to sit at the eye focus and lovingly gaze within with devoted, undivided attention, mentally repeating the charge words very, very slowly, maybe at intervals, so as not to disturb the gaze. Gradually, it will, by practice, become a habit and a second nature with you, and the master power above will take care of you, and without any effort on your part, you will find yourself rising above body consciousness into consciousness of a higher order. Love, longing, and devotion are the keynotes on the path Godwards. Question. In meditation, I hear the sound of crickets and the noises one associates with outdoor. What is happening? Master. The sound of crickets is the lowest sound, and outer noise heard by you shows that you fail to attune yourself completely to the sound current. You should not apprehend any untoward happening, as these are the entanglements of your own mind, which create similar thoughts for diverting your attention from inside. And that comes to the end of my time. We were reading from Spiritual Elixir, starting on Chapter 1 and continuing to Chapter 2, entitled Meditation, up to page 12. Thank you, Master, for these blessed words, and thank you for this holy satsang.
Thank you, Eileen, for reading for us. There were 85 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So our Master tells us that they say you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He is waiting for you within you.